As we come to the end of the Christmas season, the church celebrates the baptism of the Lord so that this great season of Christmas is bridged into the season that we call ordinary time by this solemnity of our Lord's baptism. Now, when I talk about ordinary time, what do I mean? I'm thinking about that time of the year where we're not focusing so much on particular events of our Lord's life like we do during Christmas or even as we move through to the Passion and the Easter season. No, ordinary time is the time of the liturgical year when we are invited to consider how the supernatural impacts the natural world in which we live. Another way of expressing this would be to say that during ordinary time, we are helped to understand how the spiritual world shapes the physical world in which we live each and every day. And here in the baptism of Jesus, we see how this happens. The heavens are opened. The supernatural world breaks through into this natural world, and at a particular place and time in the Jordan River, Jesus is baptized, and he hears the Father say, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the thing that we always want to think about when considering the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ is that it impacts you and me as well. That these words, "You are my Son, you are my daughter, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased," are to be received into our hearts as well. In the Gospel of St. Luke, which we'll be reading this year during ordinary time, the evangelist says something that the other two Gospels, Matthew and Mark, that also tell the baptism of Jesus do not record. And it's this one phrase that St. Luke says that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in a bodily form. This idea of the bodily form of the Holy Spirit has been something that the church has pondered for centuries. And as far back as St. Chrysostom, who lived in the 4th century, St. Augustine, who lived in the 5th century, and St. Thomas Aquinas, who lived in the 13th century, they explained it this way. To say that the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form does not mean that he was incarnate as a dove, but what it does mean is that this is an apparition whereby the Holy Spirit was imparted to Jesus in a visible and tangible way. In today's Gospels, St. John the Baptist anticipates the Feast of Pentecost when he says he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, Augustine, Chrysostom, and Thomas Aquinas say that that does not mean that the Holy Spirit was incarnate as flame, but this was another apparition, another way in which the Holy Spirit tangibly touched the earliest Christians. And then they go on to explain it in the following way in terms of what this means for you and for me. St. Luke speaks about the bodily form of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus to help us see that this happened in a visible and sensible way. Whereas for you and me, this happens in a super sensible and invisible form. Let me explain what I mean by this. People will sometimes say to me, "Well, Father, you know, when I was baptized, I didn't feel anything. I didn't have a dove come down and touch me. I didn't hear a voice from heaven saying, 'You're my son, my daughter, with whom I am well pleased.' And definitely at my confirmation, when the bishop anointed me with the oil of chrism, there were no tongues of fire." That we didn't speak in tongues in the way that we read of in the New Testament. And some people might say, "Well, why is this? Why is there this seeming distinction?" And the first thing we have to affirm is the following. The Word of God says that in our baptism and our confirmation, the Holy Spirit has been imparted to us. And similarly, as Aquinas, Augustine, and Chrysostom would tell us, that what happened first in a visible manifestation is meant to lead you and me to affirm every day during ordinary time that I have the Holy Spirit dwelling with me and he is present in me. Back in the 4th century, another early Christian writer by the name of Saint Hilary of Poitiers, who lived between 310 and 367, put it this way. Everything that happened to Christ lets us know that after the bath of water, that is, after baptism, the Holy Spirit swoops down upon us from on high, and that adopted by the Father's voice, we become sons and daughters of God. And that's the point of today's homily, that you are a son, you are a daughter of God. But there's a critical point that I want to accentuate. While everyone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit at their baptism and confirmation, not everyone appropriates and lives out the meaning of their baptism and confirmation. It is, so to speak, as if someone were to give you a scented candle. This candle is called Dandy, and when you light it, it will give off a beautiful aroma. I think I have to open it up to see what that aroma is. Yes, when it's lit, it will smell like mahogany, firewood, and pine. Someone gave me this candle for Christmas, but I didn't open the box until yesterday, and I didn't light it until yesterday evening. And in a sense, this is kind of like our baptism and like our confirmation. It's a kind of analogy. Pope Benedict XVI talked about faith this way. It's divided into two parts. The first part is our acknowledgement and our assent. Kind of like the person who gave me this candle, my acknowledgement and assent was to thank them. So too, we can give assent to the fact that we've been baptized. Yes, I was baptized. We can even have our baptismal certificate. We can have our confirmation certificate. And we can give our assent that that truly happened. But is that enough? No. This candle, in order to truly live out what it's intended to do, has to be lit. And the same thing is true, says Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, with our faith. It's not enough to give our assent. Our assent has to lead to our entrusting ourselves to God, to stepping out and, so to speak, light the candle of our faith so that we truly live each day affirming that we are a son and daughter of God. So I'd like to end my homily by taking a couple of minutes now to think about, well, how do we do this? How do we, so to speak, light the candle of faith so that we're not just giving assent to our baptism and our confirmation, but we truly are living them out so that, like the candle, we will give off the aroma of those who are in Christ. That is the aroma of his love and of his grace. In the Psalm, beautiful Psalm 104, it invites us to give our assent and to entrust ourselves to God by acknowledging God's providential care and handiwork in creation. Listen again to this verse of our psalm. And I think for those of us who live in a part of the world that is as beautiful as Alberta, it's not hard for us to imagine how alive the psalmist is when he said, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. On Wednesday, I was skiing in minus 28 degree temperatures at Lake Louise, and I was so glad to be there. There was not a cloud in the sky, and the mountains just sang the praise of God." There, in the beauty of creation, we see something of the splendor and glory of God. But the psalm goes on to say that God provides for us by giving us our daily bread, and so the psalmist sings, "These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things." That gift of being able to see in each day the providential love and care of God. But then another part of this providence is to have the humility to accept the transient nature of our natural and earthly life. A week ago today, I got an email from a daughter who said, "My dad, Martin, died suddenly. That I'd seen him on New Year's Eve, and he died on New Year's Day. Martin was a devout Catholic, a member of our 11:30 a.m. choir, and his death hit people so suddenly, and it was such a shock, and we had his funeral mass here on Friday. But what Martin's life and death sort of represent is what the psalmist also clearly states. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And you take away their spirit, they die, and they return to the dust." People who are entrusting themselves to God are growing in trusting in his providential care, as we see it in creation, as we see it in his daily provision, and as we recognize that this world is not our ultimate home. We will die, and his spirit, so to speak, will be taken away from our mortal body so that we can then enter into the fullness of eternity. But not only are we to entrust ourselves to God's providence, we are also to entrust ourselves to God's grace. And in that reading from Titus, St. Paul inspires us to trust in the mercy of Jesus Christ. This is tied into the reading from Isaiah, where the Lord is referred to as a shepherd. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. The thing about sheep is they hear and they acknowledge and they know the shepherd's voice. And what we are invited to do in this world is to entrust ourselves to the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus, to hear him speak into our lives. And St. Paul says that when we know the meaning of our baptism, when we know the significance of our confirmation, that you and I are inspired to live a life where we are zealous for good deeds. Isn't that a great line? To be zealous for good deeds. And how does St. Paul say we do that? Well, we are called to live sober, upright, and godly lives, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This, my beloved brothers and sisters, is what it means to live a supernatural life in this very ordinary world, to take ordinary time and to see the baptism of Jesus as a bridge so that we not only give assent to our baptism, we don't only confirm that, yes, we have been confirmed, but we want to entrust ourselves to God more and more so that the supernatural life is infused in this very natural world so that, like my candle, you and I can not only give off the light of Christ to show that we have indeed taken seriously our baptism and confirmation, but we have that aroma of grace that permeates who we are and how we touch the lives of others. Thanks be to God for the baptism in Jesus and for our baptism and confirmation.